I don't know if you felt the same way that I did, but when I read the statistics that were in the bulletin insert this morning under the heading of cultural indicators, I was very distressed. I have been distressed about this sort of thing, but I guess it kind of brought it home to me in a new way as I read these statistics. And if you have your bulletin there and you want to look at these statistics, it's on that pink sheet called Christians and Society Today. And on the lower right-hand corner, where it says cultural indicators, below is a chart of how things have changed in the past 30 years. And then there's a comparison between 1960 and 1991. Violent crimes per 10,000 people up from 16.1 to 75.8. What a dramatic jump. Percentage of children on welfare, 3.5% to 12.5%. You know, this is an amazing statistic. Illegitimate births in this country. 5.3% of the births in 1960 were considered illegitimate. And in 1991, 28%, well over a quarter of the births in this country considered illegitimate, even in a country which is lowering its standards and expectations regarding the family. Single-parent families, in 1960, 9.1% of the families were single-parent families. In 1991, 28.6%. Teen suicide rate, 3.6% in 1960, 11.3% in 1991. And at the same time, the comparison given of the SAT scores, 975 in 1960, down below 900 to 899 in 1991. What's happening? What's the reason behind all of this? Several years ago, Ted Koppel, at a college commencement address, said something like this. God, or Moses, I should say, Moses did not come down from Mount Sinai with the 10 suggestions. And Ted Koppel was berated by his contemporaries in the media. The very idea of this man suggesting that there are abiding, perpetual, absolute moral standards by such a statement. The very idea. Well, Ted Koppel was correct. Moses didn't come down with from Mount Sinai with the 10 suggestions, did he? Not by a long shot. Moses came down from Mount Sinai with 2 tablets inscribed with 10 words written by the very finger of God. There have never been presented to mankind words of God so concretely and so directly given as those 10 words, the 10 commandments. And it's absolutely astounding today in our culture and in our society that we have backed away
from these 10 words, these 10 commandments. What lies behind these statistics? What lies behind these cultural indicators, if you want to put it that way? We have lost our moorings, folks. We've lost our anchor. We've lost an understanding of justice, of truth, of righteousness, and more importantly, we've lost a proper understanding of love. I think that's what lies behind these statistics. And I am utterly amazed as I have, even in this past week, pondered the situation that, again, our lack of understanding in the areas of righteousness and truth and justice and goodness and love all goes back directly to the Ten Commandments. And I just want to go through a few scriptures this evening to point that out. And as we do so, I'd like to point out, if I may, the utter insanity in saying that there are no abiding, perpetual, absolute standards. On the blackboard, I've written two words. I think you recognize the first one, don't you? Astronomy. Now, the word astronomy is composed of two separate words in actuality. The word astronomy is composed of the word aster, which is the word for star, and it's the word we get the name of the flower from. And it's also the word we get the word asterisk from, the word for star. But the second part of the word astronomy is interesting, because the second part of the word astronomy comes from the Greek word nomos, which means law or rule or standard. And astronomy comes from, or is, I should say, the study of the rules or the laws involving the stars. Really interesting. That's what it's all about. And when Galileo discovered, much to the surprise of everyone in the world at that time, that the solar system was in fact a solar system, that the planets revolved around the sun, he did that because he discovered certain laws that govern the bodies in the heavens. And we know this is true. This is even true, is it not, when we study physics and do that in school, and we find that little atoms, at least this is the way it was when I studied physics, little atoms were similar to little solar systems. They don't picture it this way any longer, but at that time, that's the way they pictured it, when there was a nucleus to the atom and there were electrons that spun around that nucleus. And that's how the understanding of the atom and the forces, there were laws of physics that governed the understanding of the physical world. And we would be absolutely lost, would we not, if we didn't go by these laws. I'm amused, more than amused, when individuals say that we live in a world in which there are not absolute standards. If that were possible, how could we send astronauts to the moon? Would be impossible, wouldn't it? See, there's another word, interestingly enough, that has to do with the stars. Astra, see, the same word.
voyagers among the stars is the meaning of that word. Interesting. But here we have laws that govern the physical universe and everything that we do in our day-to-day tasks involves these laws. But lo and behold, now, in the moral realm, in the realm of ethical and moral values, what we have done is assumed a position against the law. That's what the second word means, antinomian. Okay? You see, nomos, again, this word that refers to law. And even in the church today, we have this heresy. And that's what it is. It's a heresy. Antinomian heresy. Against the law. Okay? And we have individuals in the church who are preaching vigorously against the Ten Commandments and saying that those commandments are not valid for today. And I submit to you, friends, that that is one of the reasons for the deterioration in our society. And I submit to you, friends, that as a people and as individuals, we need to start standing up and more vigorously expounding the moral standards of the living God. Look at Romans again. Romans chapter 7, verse 12. Look at what Paul says here. Does Paul say that the commandments are bad? Does Paul say that the commandments are something which should be ignored? Not at all. Romans chapter 7 and verse 12. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. One of the things in our society today which we desperately need is an understanding of goodness. Isn't that true? An understanding of goodness. What it means to be good in various situations. What it means for a husband to be good to a wife. What it means for a mother to be good to her children. What it means for teachers to be good to their students, etc., etc. What does Paul say? So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. What is the standard of goodness, dear friends, in Jesus Christ? The standard of goodness is the Ten Commandments. Let's mark that. The standard of goodness is the Ten Commandments. Is it a good thing to tell the truth? Is it? Is it a good thing to tell the truth? You know, in some circles, in some schools today, children are being told that there are places where it is better not to tell the truth. Do you realize that that's taking place? You know, some of you will look at me with blank expressions in it and in disbelief. Do you know that there are teenagers today who are going to the beach and they are saying, "It is good, it is good for me to commit adultery and fornication. And it is not good for you to tell me this narrow-minded, bigoted commandment, you shall not commit adultery." What is good? What is good? Is it good that a person should always in every way respect life? Is that good? You shall not murder. Is it good that we should always in every way respect the property of others? Yes. It is good. The standard of goodness. What is right and what is true. Look at that text again. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. What is it to be just and righteous? What is it to be just and righteous? You know, there are people asking that question today. And they're asking that question and they're getting no answers. What is it to be righteous? To be righteous, dear friends, to be righteous is to be a follower of Jesus Christ in the way of these commandments. What is it to be just? Isn't there a longing in the hearts of men and women today for justice? Isn't that true? I really think there is. And there's a sense in which individuals cry for justice and they know that in this life it's evasive. And one of the reasons it's so evasive is there's a failure to recognize the perpetual abiding commandment of Jesus Christ. I think that's what stands behind these statistics that we've looked at. I really do. I don't know if that's where you are or not. And if it's not where you are, friends, quite honestly, I think you need to get there. I really do. I'd like us to look at a couple of other texts. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. We've already seen that the Apostle Paul defines goodness and righteousness and justice and holiness in terms of God's commandments. Look at what else is defined in terms of God's commandments. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. What is sin? I hear the echo. Sin is any lack of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. How in the world are individuals to know they are in sin if the Ten Commandments are removed from the general view in society? How are people to know? Are they going to know? They're not going to know. It wasn't too long ago that a lady called on our 800 service at Westminster Evangelistic Ministries, and she just asked the simple question, what is sin? And it was an honest, I believe, an honest query asking this question, what is sin? And you scratch your head in amazement that people would not know the answer to that question. But it's true. They don't know the answer. And why don't they know the answer? Well, one of the reasons is that when the Supreme Court of the United States declares it illegal to take the Ten Commandments or to hang the Ten Commandments in school classrooms, the possibility of children knowing in a very concrete way a definition of sin is removed from them. And when that takes place, what can we expect? Dear friends, we can expect young people and adults to move in the direction indicated by the statistics that we've already rehearsed. Isn't that true? I really think it is. And so we need to have a proper view of the commandments of the living God. Now, I know most of you do have a high view of the law of God. I'm aware of that. And I'm very thankful that that's the case. But even though as individuals we may have a high view of the commandments of God, is it true that each one of us senses a deep responsibility before God to lay before others the commandments of God? Or do we consider that position, which we know is correct, to be a rather private position which we hold to, and we are grateful that we understand that position and assume it with some degree of pride, and yet we fail to relate it properly to others? Is that where we are? I'll raise my hand and say, too often that's been the case with me. I know sitting in the coffee shop and drinking coffee with men in the community that too often that has been the case with me, to my shame. And so truth and goodness and righteousness and sin are defined in a very concrete way by these commandments. And then a text that I've pointed out more than once, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. Why is there a lack of love among the people of our culture and of our society? Here's the reason. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. To me, that is so simple, so straightforward, and so beautiful, I don't see how we can miss it. Yet, the position again of many is this position of anti-law, anti-nomianism. And the result of it, dear friends, is a lack of love. You can't tell me that when Jesus says, quoting the Old Testament, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." You can't tell me when Jesus says that, that it is an act of love to take the name of Jesus in vain, or that it is an act of love to lie to the person who is next to you. You cannot convince me that that could be the case. And yet, in our culture and in our society, we separate the two. It cannot be. And so, dear friends, the exhortation is, for us to take seriously, not only as individuals, and not only as a congregation, but to take seriously in a public way our commitment, not only to the Word of God, not only to the inspiration of the Bible, not only to the teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, but to the commandments of the living God recorded by His finger in 10 words, those 10 commandments. I want you to turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 5 again. And look at verses 6 and 7. Look at verse 6 in Deuteronomy 5. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. And the commandments go on. To whom were these commandments given? They were given to the redeemed people of God. They were given to the people of God, brought out of slavery, brought out of bondage. Dear friend, have you been brought out of slavery and brought out of bondage by the grace of God through Jesus Christ? Is that the case? And these commandments are for you. And these commandments are for you to broadcast in our society and in our culture. That's the challenge for all of us. And I hope, this is a challenge for me, believe me. I hope that as a pastor in this congregation and in this community, I will be up to the task and that I will be able to speak the truth in love in our community, that truth which is so much needed, summarized in these commandments. Let's pray that would be the case, and let's pray that each one of us will in turn be up to the task. Let's pray together now. Father, I'm asking you that you would pour out your Spirit and that you would make of us, O our God, men and women of strength and of vigor. And I pray, Father, that you would be pleased to pour out your Spirit to give us the boldness needed to speak the truth in love to others. And I thank you, Father, that these 10 commandments, originally given through Moses and expounded by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, will be central in each one of our lives to such an extent that our lives will magnify that word in a world which so much needs that word. Bless us in these ways, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen.